On this Friday morning, you're with Breakfast with Pat and Heels on 6:93 AM. I know you're saying out there we forgot Stump Heels, which we did because we were chatting to Maddie about Dharamsala, etc. But I've got it now. So this is for the week. Which stadium?
Stump Heels on SENQ.
This is a train wreck. Like I gear up before that ad break, and I can't do it without the opener. And now finally, it's on.
Well, right. You were the one that kept asking Matty questions about the trip.
Let's go.
Which stadium holds the record for the loudest recorded noise?
And I got to name the stadium name.
Well, yeah, largest recorded crowd noise.
Internazionale.
And I'm just hearing from Jack that if you can name the home team without having to name the actual stadium, he's happy to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Are we cluing or no? Couple of texts here from Chook. Any chance Chris Nelson's favourite number is 2? Yes, there are a few of them today.
A little multi there.
Yeah, well, his little multi in Brisbane is race 6, the 2, into race 8, the 2, and, of course, race 4, the time-honoured. SENQ 6:93 AM, Pat and Heels for breakfast, benchmark 6. He's tipped the 5 there, Disputed River, if you're heading out to Eagle Farm or having a bet tomorrow. In Sydney, race 2, the 2, he likes. Race 5, the 3. And in Melbourne, in the big one, in the All-Star Mile, 3.75 million up for grabs there. He's tipped the 2 there, Cascadian each way, with Mr. Brightside as the hot favourite in that race. So, yeah, he's tipped a few 2s there. Kazi has been prolific. He's desperate to win the roadie meet voucher today. Do yourself a favour, lads, and Google the John Kerwin try for Italy in 1987 World Cup. It's all Reece Walsh-like. So, anyway. We'll get back to that.
I wouldn't have remembered John Kerwin as a stepper. I thought he was just a bulldozer, big thighs on him, didn't he? That's what I remember him as. So, yes, he had the lot.
Yeah, well, because he's saying he could never sidestep at pace until his dad took him down to a park with trees, and it was there he learnt how to sidestep at pace. So there you go. Rather than run into a tree.
Yeah, he probably bowled a few over, and then, that's no good.
Percy's been involved as well. Good morning, Patty Hills, Vanessa, Jack and Maddie. Maddie in capitals. The player of the week has got to be Eddie Jones announcing yesterday that he's left Australian rugby in a better place. WTF, whatever that means.
Yeah.
thank you, Purse.
And that's a good call.
There's a long one from Daryl. I'll get to that a little later on because it includes his tip for the all-age stakes on World Sleep Day. He's got some stuff for us here.
What sport is this stadium? I'm saying football, I think.
Yeah, it's football. I'll tell you what, the two clues I'll give you, it's football and it's in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right. Well, I think...
So that scrubs the MCG, the height of its powers.
And South America?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It takes out South America.
Does it?
Northern Hemisphere. Massive football crowds.
What sort of capacity? Is it a little capacity with high atmosphere or is it a big capacity?
I don't know.
So you went straight to the MCG, so it's a big capacity one, I reckon.
Yeah, well, it has to be.
I was thinking Brazilian football, but anyway, I can't think of anything Northern Hemisphere-ish. Danish. And how'd they measure it? Did they do a test, right? We're going to do a test for the greatest decibel reading in the world.
No, I've checked. This stadium has a capacity of just over 76,000.
Okay. That's not massive.
No.
And it's Northern Hemisphere.
That takes Wembley out.
And how do they rate it? Like, how do you know it's got the biggest decibels?
Well, they have a decibel reader, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, well, is India in the Northern Hemisphere?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going Kolkata.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know they haven't measured it. You measure, I'm saying Calcutta's got a bigger decibel rating.
No, Jack's doing high
five. Especially when the firecrackers go off.
Jack's dancing in his own little office. The answer is, Heels, Arrowhead Stadium, which is the home to the Kansas City Chiefs. It hit a deafening 142.2 decibels.
Right. Yeah. So you get the Calcutta, mate. There's a lot more than that.
How do you know what 142 sounds like? Have you ever been to Arrowhead Stadium?
Yep. No, I just made that up. But Calcutta, when they're setting bombs off in the stands and sitting around it, that is incredible.
Mm.
So I think that's just a shonk question again. You know, you haven't got definitive best evers in your answer.
Okay, well, I might get to Daryl's while you sulk. Morning, Pat and Heels, Vanessa, Jack and Matt. You've got the whole team here today. On World Sleep Day, your loyal listeners awake to another great weekend of sport. League, Aussie Rules, Rugby Union, horse racing, et cetera, all around the country. And New Zealand for Cuzzy, which will be covered by the SEN Radio Network and its expert commentators. In the all-age stakes tomorrow, I'm having a small each-way wager on number 11, Holy Man's, at $23 for the Kieran Ma-Blake shin combination. They have been informed. In our race, Heels, race 4 at Eagle Farm, I've come up with number 12, Phoenix Flyer, at the succulent odds of $19. So mark that down on your paper.
That's for us.
Number 12 and Phoenix Flyer each way, on an each way. Have a great weekend, everyone, with plenty of success all around. Thank you, Daryl. Yes, I mean, we echo those sentiments on World Sleep Day. And I'm hoping that we're right. Matty Rogers said Spain. No, Matty, so he's in the co-op, no doubt, heading to the golf course somewhere.
The Glades.
I haven't
getting
made
ready
it,
for
I,
live pro am.
I haven't made that phone call.
Oh.
Right yet about trying to. Hopefully, you're making strides to get yourself into the pro am at live.
You bailed out.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Oh well, you've wasted a day already.
See, my
time is of the essence here.
The one that I rest my laurels on is Powderfinger, at the height of their powers. So when the PGA was at Coolum. The Pro-Am was the hottest ticket in town. Obviously, everyone wanted to start. And I had frequent calls because, you know, we were the broadcasters of golf and had been for quite some time. So they had just Bernard Fanning and one to be named, but I'm not sure who it was, one of the guitarists. And I should remember, that's very
not
rude.
JC.
I'm not sure whether it was JC. They'd just taken up golf and I saw them at Indooroopilly one afternoon. And they said, you know, we know you do the golf commentary. Any chance that we can get into the Pro-Am at Coolum?
More front than David Jones.
Well, anyway, they were big. You know, they're still big. I still love Powderfinger. I love them. But so I called the tournament director in Melbourne before she came to Queensland to sort of run the event. I said, how are you going for the – she said, don't call me about the Pro-Am. I cannot get anyone more into the Pro-Am. It is chock-a-block full. I said, what about two of the guys from Powderfinger? She said, do they want to play with Greg?
See, why are you resting on your laurels? Let's just go,
Matt, go again.
Matt's thought you'd lost confidence having them knocked back, but they're in. You got them in.
Matty's just texted me back. He said, I need you, Patty. So we'll see. But, and to tell you the truth, the two boys from Powderfinger were fixtures at the event. For quite some years.
Yeah.
They always cleared their schedule so they could play the Pro-Am up there. And most of them stuck around. You know, a lot of the celebs that came up would stay there for the weekend.
Beautiful.
It was just great, yeah. And the pros loved it as well because, look, let's face it, the ones from overseas had made their money for the year, and this was nice. But, look, we'll get to a break, and it's 7:12, and, we'll have Tubby Taylor right after the break. Something very special. He's one of your great mates, one of Australia's greatest cricket captains, Mark Tubby Taylor. He's just about to jump a flight to Brisbane. I think you've got him out golfing today, haven't you?
Yes. We'll have a hit again, and Tubby will probably retire from golf once again. good morning, Cub.
Morning, lads, and you're probably right, Heels. I nearly retired last weekend. It was my first round back at my local course, North Ryde, here in Sydney. Had 24 points, mate, so there was another retirement last week. So,
mate.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for punishment.
There's nothing wrong with 24. I think I had 22 at Burley. So still problems off the tee, mate. Where's your game going wrong, please?
Yeah, and then when I chipped it back on the fairway, there was more problems trying to get on the green. So, yes, there's problems on problems.
Hey, you're here for a game of golf with your old mate, but you're also here for something very important tomorrow. It's the inaugural Sporting Chance Cancer Foundation Brisbane Race Day. Your chair, your foundation patron, and it's a big day for you.
Yeah. We've got about 180 odd coming on tomorrow, which is terrific. So numbers are up a bit from last year, which is great. A day at Eagle Farm, raised some money for our outreach program out of the Brisbane Mater Hospital there, which we started way back in about 2001. So, so it's a program that's been going for 23 years. So, these funds will go towards the nurse that we sponsor there, and sort of go into the pool of money that where we sponsor about six nurses right around, particularly East Coast and South Australia at the moment. So, it's a good fun day, but for a good cause.
Yeah, you've spread out beautifully from New South Wales into Melbourne and Victoria and then Adelaide and now just sneaking into Queensland, aren't you, mate? Those such nurses and that cause costs a lot of money, eh?
Yeah. As I said, each nurse or each program, not just the nurse, costs us, somewhere around sort of $120,000 to $150,000 each. So every year we raise the best part of $1 million. We've got three nurses here now in Sydney, one in Brisbane, as I mentioned a moment ago, that's been there for 23 years, one in Adelaide, and one in Melbourne. We've named them after various sporting people, Bobby Skilton down in Victoria, obviously Raylene Boyle up there in Brisbane, Greg Blewett over in South Australia. We've just named a new one here in Sydney after James Tedesco, who's come on as a patron.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're trying to grow, which is great, and we're very lucky. We've got a lot of people who are very generous to help us grow.
Yeah, very
good stuff. Yeah, and I tell you, it'd be lovely to see Boyle. I'm not sure if she's coming down. She's up there on the sunny coast, but it's always wonderful to see her, one of our greatest ever athletes. Of course, you've got a little bit of extra incentive up here this weekend because your St. George Dragons are taking on the Dolphins as well. And I'm actually speaking to Wayne Bennett today at a lunch today, mate. Any advice for him? Any news for him?
Can you tell them just to go easy for one more week, please? Because my Dragons started well last week. I was delighted to see the way they played last week. And obviously Wayne's Dolphins didn't start that well, so that's a worry. If I know Wayne Bennett, and I know him reasonably well, he'll be firing them up to play well against the Dragons. So just tell him to go easy for one more week and come good in week three.
Yeah, well, the Dragons will be saying to Flanagan, "We've never been this far." And you got through first round.
come on. Hey, what have you made of the summer of cricket?
Actually, it was better than I thought it was going to be totally honest. You looked at sort of Pakistan and the West Indies coming. It wasn't a great draw card summer. But Pakistan, I thought, played well at times, but obviously lost 3-0. And then that match at the Gabba where the West Indies won a game that no one thought they were going to win was... Well, it was a great result for cricket. It wasn't necessarily a great result for the Australian cricket team, but it was just to see them play well, to see Shamar Joseph play so well and turn a test around. And then we just had two test matches in New Zealand. And once again, Australia could easily have lost a test match there but found a way to win. So our side's going well. I don't think they're going perfectly by any means, but they're finding ways to win, and they're good to watch.
Yeah, too many top-order players are misfiring, aren't they? And we're back to relying on individual performances to get us out of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And predominantly relying a lot on our bowlers. That's a bit of a worry. The good news is we've got four very good bowlers, and we've got other guys like the Bolands and the Nesses and what have you who can't get a run. So we're lucky we've got all these bowlers to keep the score down, so we haven't got to make a lot of runs because our batting at the moment has been our concern, no doubt about that. The interesting thing is, though, that the wickets also have been very sporting the last sort of 6 months. So we've changed our batting order. Smith's moved up. Obviously, Green's come back in, but they've come in and these changes have come in at a time where the decks are moving around a lot, so it hasn't been easy, to be fair.
No, that's a good call. Is that the challenge in our Sheffield Shield cricket now? We've got to get talent a run for their state so that in 3 years' time they're ready to go at the top level?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to find some more runs at Shield cricket. I don't really know what's happening with the pitches around Shield cricket at the
sporty
moment. Certainly the runs, they're drying up as well in our Shield games. So I think we've got to find a bit more of a balance there. We need to see some of these young guys making hundreds. At the moment, someone makes a 50, we're waxing lyrical about them, where you really, to make be a good test player, you've got to make hundreds. So I think the key is find the right balance between bat and ball on our shield decks. So we've got batsmen who can make big hundreds when they play for Australia.
Hey, the obvious question, I suppose, for you, one of our greatest ever openers, the Steve Smith move to opener. Obviously, it's only been four tests, and Andrew McDonald is saying, hey, you know, let's not throw baby out with bathwater just yet.
Yeah, well, I was a bit of a fan of it because I like it was very much a team-orientated thing. But he knew that they wanted to get Cameron Green back in the side. So Smitty said, I'll move up. I think he was looking for a challenge also. I think he was getting a bit stale in that middle order. So he was looking for a challenge. And after Brisbane, when he made the 90-odd, we thought everything was okay. But then, obviously, New Zealand had zipped around. No runs there for him or for actually not many in the top order of both sides. So, yes, it hasn't kicked off just yet. But as I said a moment ago, I'd give it longer. Because I think Steve Smith's such a good player that he'll find his feet and his form, and I think he'll find next summer the decks won't be quite as sporting, and we might see some more runs from him and the rest of our top order.
It's been a huge 12 months, though, hasn't it? So successful that it may be the most successful year, although there's no Ashes win yet. World Test Championship champions, one day International World Cup, beating India in India, the summer, the New Zealand, and now we head to the World T20, which is so difficult to win.
Yeah, and we've won it all so far, which has been a terrific performance because, as you know, Heels, it's not easy to win all the various formats of the game.
No.
Generally, if you're playing well at Test cricket, you're not going as well in one-day cricket and vice versa. The Australian cricket seems to have found a pretty good balance between our Test team, one-day team and T20 team. So I suppose the challenge for Australia will be, yes, can they win the T20? And then obviously they're going to lose Warner probably full-time after that. So they're going to need to find a replacement for him at the top of the order for our one-day and our T20 side.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's and then of course we welcome India for the Test series and the Ashes. I mean, we can't wait for that. It's just I still love my Test cricket. It's just a shame we've got to wait for so long for it.
Wait up! How good has Jaiswal come in for India as a left-handed opening bat?
Well, I think we've said for years that Indian talent's just unreal. Like they lose Kohli, they lose all sorts of players out of their lineup, and these guys come in and make. Well, he make 400s or something in that last series. So, yeah, they've got no doubt a conveyor belt of very good cricketers and very good batsmen in particular. So they're going to be the side to beat for Australia in the next few years for sure.
Yeah, he lived in a tent from the age of 12. maybe our academies have got to move to parks or something.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. When he starts playing the IPL, he'll be buying caravan parks. He won't be living in tents.
Yeah, that's very good stuff.
Hey, Toby, great to have a chat. And I know you're on your way to Brisbane to catch up with Heels and a few of your old mates this afternoon. And then, of course, the big day at the races. Heels and I will be out there. Mark Tarlett will be there as well. And we're doing it for a great cause for the inaugural Sporting Chance Cancer Foundation Brisbane Race Day. It's at Eagle Farm. If you haven't made plans for tomorrow, I'm certain the weather will be Queensland's finest. And the racing will be good. We'll find a couple of winners for you as well. So we'd love you to come out and support a wonderful cause. Tubby, thanks, mate. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks, boys, and thanks for your support. Look forward to seeing you, Heels, today and both of you tomorrow.
Yep,
good on you, mate.
Good stuff. Thank you, mate. And I think he's just confirmed, Heels, that Raylene is coming as well.
Yep.
It'll be great to catch up with Raylene Bourne, one of our greatest ever. We don't see her a lot down here in Brizzy. She's sunny coast-based, living a fairly quiet life. But, I commentated with her for a couple of Olympic Games, et cetera, and she's just a wonderful lady, wonderful.
You'll be in the dark corner of the marquee tomorrow, you two just chin wagging. I'd like to see you just stay away from the buffet for a bit.
Yeah, my wife would like that too.
Rubbing the birdcage. What about Jaiswal? You know, Tubby said when he starts the IPL, he's a 20-year-old now, he's 23 now, but he started for Rajasthan when he was 18 or 19 and got the fastest and the biggest 100 in the history of the comp right from the word go.
Yeah, it's a production line over there at the moment. we're going to talk plenty of rugby league and the good win by the Bronx last night. It wasn't pretty. We all acknowledge that, but it was only round two. They've got the money. They've started their premiership campaign with a couple of points. So they're 1-1 as opposed to the Bunnies, who run into the Roosters next week for the old book of feuds. They're 0-2. But Corey Parker will join us after 8 o'clock for the Friday throwdown to run through all the league. We'll preview the weekend's games as well and tonight's. Hey, just a quick one. Heels, Premier Grade Cricket... Cricket Grand Final starts this weekend at AB Field between Ipswich and Norths.
Mm.
Your team.
Things can happen quick in a four-day game, a club game, and so on top conditions. So, yeah, the Ipswich batters can go all right. Don't worry about that. I think they and I'm not sure about what you call the stacked Norths team. You know, you're talking about Will Prestwich and Connor Sully, Noah McFadgen. They're not that stacked. They've been young talent coming through, and I hope they play as if they're stacked.
That's from the Kilcoy Yowie. Maz, Vanessa, have already heeded your advice for more sleep. And after watching both teams refuse to pack down in the dying minutes prior to half time, I did a patty, threw the remote and went to bed. Jack and Matt are still awaiting your RSVP re this weekend's barbecue invite. The bread rolls provided.
Gas bottle, you got the gas bottle?
So there's Murray's pay for the Roadie Meats $100 voucher. Coming up to 7:30. I think, where's Dimmy's one? Just wanted to correct, Darryl's tip, it was for the All-Star Mile, not the All-Age Stakes. So Darryl's tip in the big race tomorrow at Caulfield is, in fact, the 11 Holy Mans in race 8 at Caulfield. So just clearing that up. Thanks for that, Dim. It's just gone 7:30. Lots more to come on the show, but don't forget, jump on the Suncorp Home Resilience open line 13 13 55 or the text line 0467 736 736. The best text or the best call of the day, Jack will decide that, so you can blame him. Picks up a $100 voucher to Roadie Meats. What a way to start the weekend. Special guest on the show now, Heels. But before I introduce Bodie, he has already impressed the coach. Let's listen to the brand new Suns coach, Damien Hardwick.
You know, Buddy Yulin, that bit of play, that's the sort of play you want to sum up. Well, the game's dead and buried, but with 30 seconds to go, he spoils, he dives on balls. That's the sort of footy club we want to become.
Okay, but Bodie, a very good morning to you. That's a nice rap from the coach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So obviously this is fantastic for you. I mean, Heald sitting opposite me is completely enamoured with Damien Hardwick, thinks he's fantastic. What are your thoughts on the new coach down there, mate?
No, we're all loving him, really. Everyone's sort of buying into his system, and he's got such a great track record with coaching, and, yeah, we're very excited to have him on board.
I know exactly what you were doing, Bodie, at the end of that game. You were getting your stats up.
No, that's a good thing about Zimmer. He's not big on stats. He's very role-player-based, so it's me. Not a big stats fan.
Mate, how did Australian Rules get an All-Saints boy?
That's a good question. We've actually got a few more coming through the ranks too, but I've just grown up playing footy and just... So parents sent me to All Saints. So.
Yeah, okay, so club footy first. Out. You know, you started odds kick or whatever and all the way through.
Yeah. So started when I was 5 or 6 at the local odds kick at Burley Bombers and then just progressed through the junior pathways to the Suns Academy and ended up here.
Yeah, were you able to influence All Saints at all to definitely get involved in an Aussie Rules comp, or did you start something at that school too?
Yeah, I think it's a lot better now than what it was. We've now entered like the AFLQ Schools Cup.
Yes.
And I think that did pretty well last year, getting through to the semi-finals in the first year competing. So it's definitely on a trend towards more AFL at the school, which is positive.
I mean, and you're the sort of guy that the Suns want, aren't they? That are coming through the academy, you know, a local that has made it to the big time.
Yeah, I guess it's always a good story having a local come through and getting onto the AFL list. But, yeah, we obviously have more coming through as well with the 4 draftees this year. And it's what we want, really, with the academy, the success that comes with it. So we just got to keep investing in that program.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, look, seriously, when we're talking about Dimmer, what changes have you noticed around there? With all due deference to, you know, coaches that have come previously, what has he brought to the club in the player's mind?
Just creating a positive, fun environment, really. Just everyone sort of wants to be at work every day, and really building on that connection between the players and the coaches. So there's been a few changes around the workplace to invite those sort of general conversations between staff and players.
That's very good, because that gives you a feeling or an immediate knowledge that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, well, as I said before, the track record, everyone has that trust in what he is implementing is going to work. So just everyone's buying into that, which is great.
And before we get on to last week's game and what the Crows might present to you, like your start, it all sounds nice and rosy, doesn't it, that the coach likes you and the club's going well. But, gee whiz, since you've been drafted in 21, it hasn't been easy, eh? Talk our listeners through what you went through in 22.
Yeah, so pretty much right when I was drafted, I stress fractured in my back, which took me out for a bit over a year. So it was, I think it was around 17, 18 months in between games of footy for me. So yeah, it was a very long, challenging injury. With stress fractures, don't really know how long the time frame's going to be, and just had to keep waiting and waiting, and a lot of patience was needed, and was lucky enough to be back to footy at the start of last year and almost get a full year of footy in last year.
So you've had a brace on, I understand. But is your dad a chiropractor?
Yeah, that's right. So dad's a chiropractor as well, which makes it ironic, really, that I ended up with stress fractures in my back. But yeah, I had to wear a brace for 23 hours of the day, really, around 9 months. So looking back on it now, I don't think I really realised what I was doing. So
that's interesting, eh? Like you were looking forwards. That's a great skill. A stress fracture, how do you do a stress fracture in footy? Like we have fast bowlers do it a lot in cricket, but how did you come about yours?
We're not still 100% certain on what caused mine, but I did play a little bit of junior cricket being a fast bowler, so maybe that
contributed.
We couldn't really pinpoint it down to one thing, but it's gone now, which is the positive thing.
Yeah, well done.
All right, well, what are the plans for the Crows this weekend?
Well, we know they're a great offensive unit. They've got some real good star power up forward, even though Tex Walker's out, still got Isaac Rankin, Darcy Fogarty, many players like that. So I guess if we win the time and forward half battle, I think that will put us in good stead to hopefully get the win on the board.
Okay.
And look, you've got a great crowd for Richmond. Let's hope you get another big one. It's Saturday night, just after 7 o'clock local time at the new People First Stadium now at Gold Coast. And Bodie, look, great to chat to you. And best of luck for a big season.
I appreciate you having me, guys.
Thanks, Bodie.
Bodie Yulin, who the coach is obviously a fan of, Hills, which is fantastic. You can hit the road with Sixt Car and Truck Rental. Visit sixt.com.au to book today. And, of course, you can hear this match right across SENQ and on the SEN app as well, Hills.
Look at that as well.
Yeah, I was just looking. I'm looking at the AFL website and I saw the 8:10. It's wrong. That's the daylight saving time. So 7:10 start at People First Stadium.
Now on Breakfast with Pat and Hills. Hills gets his gloves off.
Well, you think I'm excited about Brighton and Hove, but yesterday I attended a business lunch in a city boardroom, which filled me with optimism that our city just has to capitalise on the Olympic selection. It's made cities out of cities, world-class cities. And if 20 years ago you said Brisbane was a world city, we would have been laughed at. Not after the Olympics of 32. But that means little to the citizens north of, say, Gympie, they reckon. So after the announcement excitement, all that regional excitement has to be reignited, and the regions must be engaged very meaningfully, because they don't really care if Brisbane becomes a world city or not. The Queensland budget is $85 billion, spent mainly between health, education and safety. But outside of those, there are so many other needs. Charity, sports, grassroots in everything must be supported and new initiatives created. So the budget is tight, but I was so impressed when all parties said it's very doable and affordable, the Olympics, and the required stadia sound affordable though. And at a Wednesday panel, the day before, someone was telling me several influential operatives were glowing about what could be achieved for 2032. They had no doubt how good it will be. prior, during, and post-Olympics. I guess it's combining the commitments from all three levels of government, the AOC, the IOC, broadcast deals, revenues, and sponsors who always seem to enjoy being involved with the Olympics. So the message to us then can turn to the income and the exposure for Brisbane, not just the costs and the outgoings for Queensland. So Monday, we await the Quirk audit findings and the ensuing response from the OOC, the Olympic Organising Committee, and then plenty of action. It sounds very doable.
Hey, the Hyundai SUV sale event is on right now for a limited time. You can get 15 grand, or 1,500 off selected Tucson's.
Give them grand. Friday.
1,500 off selected Tucson's. The Hyundai sponsors just about had conniptions. And 2,000 off selected Santa Fe and Palisades. Experience our most innovative SUVs with the smart sense safety, the advanced technology, the brilliant design. The Hyundai SUV event. Visit your local showroom today, like Kia Hyundai. Having a shocker. 1532 Logan Road, Mount Gravatt. And our Hills, don't forget, it's our Big Roadie Meats giveaway, $100 voucher, the high-quality family-owned award-winning butcher. Check them out at Roadie Meats on Instagram and Facebook. And that's for the best caller on our 13 13 55 Suncorp Home Resilience Open line, or the text line on 0467 736 736. Daryl just quickly said his little All Star Mile, as opposed to All Age Stakes, it was simply a autocorrect.
Yeah, okay.
Fault. So like,
he's feeling bad because he made a mistake. Imagine how we'd feel if we had that attitude. But yeah, get on that line too, because we've got Corey Parker coming up after 8. Any fire in some questions on the text or phone up?
Yep.
And let's talk to him about last night and what we can expect for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, what did you think about the Bronx last night? We know there was, well, certainly the first half was mistake-ridden from both sides, but the Bronx rode it and gave up a 12-point lead just after half-time.
I can't believe it. I reckon I went over to the AFL, came back in 12-12.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, that graphic's wrong. And, gee, they scored 2 in 2 minutes.
Yeah, the Bunnies fired up briefly, but Jason Demetrio not happy with the way things were unfolding.
You know, there's not many normal-sized people in that South forward pack. They're big, eh?
There's some big boppers.
Like, yeah. Cameron Murray's about the only normal one.
Mm.
And Damien Cook. But my goodness, they're big.
Yeah, well, they've got the Roosters next week, so it doesn't get any easier for them. And the Bronx, of course, travelled for a big Thursday night blockbuster, the grand final rematch against Penrith at Bluebet. So it's a big 7 days or so coming up for both those sides that played last night. But right now, as you can tell, we're heading very quickly towards the 8 o'clock news. Vanessa has all that info for you. And then we're back with Corey Parker to discuss all things league. We're only one match into the second round, and we'll go through all the big games for this weekend, and we'll, you know, including the review of the Broncos grabbing their first premiership points for the season. Coming up.